I'm thinking back of a conference that I was asked to speak at when I was in college at that time, Baptist Bible College here in Clark's Green, Pennsylvania. Dr. Charles Ware, a fellow friend of mine, a student, was asked to speak at that conference. Pastor Mark Graham, a fellow student of ours who was pastoring in Trumansburg, I believe it was, New York State. He was the pastor of the church and asked us to come. We had another missionary kid from Japan named Mark Chandler, who was in our dormitory and friend of ours, and he was asked to speak. And we went up there, Charlie Ware, Randy Bloom, and Mark Chandler, to speak at that conference. And I remember Mark Graham made a statement. Actually, he quoted a famous evangelist who made a statement that stuck out to me through the years. He said, and this was about the mid-1970s. This evangelist said, "God is making an end run around the local church in our day." That was in the mid-70s. Famous evangelist. And, you know, God is making an end run around the local church in our day. I think about how after my second year of college, which was my first year at BBC, I went one year to Calvin in Grand Rapids. I went down to West Palm Beach, Florida for the summer to work. And there I got involved with an independent fundamental Baptist local church called Emmanuel. And got to know the pastor quite well. Actually got to speak in church that summer, and got to know a college student there, went to Cedarville College by the name of Kathy Leeser quite well. Later got to know her very well. And I'm so glad I met my wife in a local church. Amen. I'm glad that when I got saved, I got baptized and became a member of the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, Muskegon, Michigan. And I'm saying to you, when I went down to Florida, I really got convinced from the Bible that God's plan for a believer, once they get saved, is to be part of a local New Testament church, Baptist church. And you know, my friend, my best friend at the time, Charles Ware, he went that summer to his home church, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, in Williamson, New York. And he worked with his pastor, and he too became convinced that God's plan was to work in and through the local church for our lives. And we both had that same conviction. We came back together in school, and we were sharing our conviction, and that led us to come to Scranton to preach the gospel, but to plant a church. I had been witnessing in Scranton as a student at the college, but it didn't really amount to anything because I didn't know about the church. I knew about it, but not really knew it. And when my wife and I got married to this truth, we have given our lives to the church here in Scranton to serve the Lord here. We buried ourselves here in this place. Now, I'm going to say West Palm Beach, Florida is a lot prettier. But this place to me is home, away from home. Amen. We had a fella in our church by the name of Jack Jeffries. My daughter knows his daughter, been good friends with her through the years, Julie. Jack was teaching adult Sunday school class in our church, and he made a statement that I've kept through the years. He made a statement to the effect that he said, "There is no sanctification in isolation from the ministry of the local New Testament church." Let me say that again. There is no sanctification in isolation from the ministry of the New Testament local church. So, you know, in the mid-1970s, the statement was made that God is doing an end run around the local church. And I said at that time, I don't believe it because the Bible doesn't teach that.
Right.
And I said in 2023, June the 25th, that God is not making an end run around the local New Testament church.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a small and insignificant local New Testament church.
Right.
The center of God's work on earth, the center of God's witness on earth, is still and has been since the days of Christ and Pentecost, the local New Testament church. And you would do well to keep that in mind. And so please take your Bible and turn with me to my message this morning from the book of Revelation. Revelation. And I'll read it in chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And here in chapters 1 through 3, we see the local church is very essential to the end times before the return of Jesus Christ. We are coming into the end times. We are in the end times since the first coming of Christ. That's when the Bible said the end times actually began, 2,000 years. But the end of the end times, we're coming into that. And you're hearing the Word of God today in and through the local New Testament church, I believe is a key for your life if you're going to be sanctified, if you're going to serve the Lord in 2023. And I would say this today, you would be spiritually wise to make much of God's program for your life, and you would be spiritually wise to partner with the Lord to fulfill God's program for your life so you can grow and be strong in these last days. Because, listen, you're going to need to be strong in the Lord. And I want to give you a key to partnering with the Lord in and through the local church. You say, well, what's that key? All right, it's in chapter 1, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 29, chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 13, and chapter 3, verse 22. I won't turn to all those verses, but it's in all those verses. Here's the key. Are you ready? Here's what it says. And it says it to a believer, if you're a believer. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to the churches today. So if you want to hear what God is saying, be a part of a local New Testament church. And you be there and you listen to what's heard and receive what is heard with your ears wide open. And notice the message of the Holy Spirit comes to churches. So you receive it while you're part of a local church. Are you today? Have you been saved? Have you been baptized by single immersion? Have you become a member of the church, according to Acts chapter 2, that they that received this word, they were baptized and added to the church? And notice that everyone has an ear to hear the message of the Holy Spirit for the local church, and so you should be sure that you are hearing the message of God. Everyone that has an ear to hear, you better be sure you have that spiritual ear so that you can hear. Because not everybody has that spiritual ear. As some people, it goes right over their head. I was counseling somebody the other day, and I was saying to them, the message of God was so powerful in my heart and so powerfully delivered, I believe. And it spoke to this person's need. And I said, don't you remember what was preached this Sunday morning? And the person said, was it on money? No, it was not. It was totally off. But there's somebody just missed it entirely. Didn't hear it. So it's a great thing to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. And notice that. And notice the message of God for your life not only comes to those with ears to hear, but it comes in a timely way just when you need it. Because we serve a personal God. And He knows everything about you. He's involved in every area of your life. And He is able to give you a message that is personally needed by you in a timely way. So I'm going to read the text now. Chapter 1, verse 18, and I'll read verse 20. You follow me for those two verses. It says, and unto the angel, I'm sorry, I got to back up there. I'll read it again. All right, here it is. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. There we have it. The name of my message this morning is Partner with Your Star and the Spirit. Let me say that again. The name of the message is Partner with Your Star and the Spirit. And I might add, for success. I have just two things to say about that. Number one, by your recognizing the mystery of your star. The key to the spiritual success for your life, according to Revelation 1, 18 and 20, is found in your union with the dead, risen, and ever-living Christ. Notice what it says in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church, I'm sorry, I'm doing the wrong verse again. I don't know what's going on. Here we go. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You know what? He says amen there just in case you don't say it. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. You know what? He died. He was alive and then he died. And thank God that he was alive and then he died. He came into this world to die for our sins. And he was alive and kept the law of God perfectly. He never sinned. And then he became a curse and he was hung on the tree. And he took the curse of the law, the curse of our creation with the thorn of crowns upon his head. And he was condemned to hell where he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was forsaken of God and he paid for our sins and he died. But that's not the end of the story. He was buried. But that's not the end of the story. He rose again. And guess what? He's alive in 2023. He is alive. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. At just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. I remember in prayer meeting back in the 70s when we met in Scranton on the Hill section, Clay Avenue. I remember Winston Smith, a fellow student, missionary from Jamaica. And he used to say, Lord, you're so real to me. I feel like we can reach out and touch you. Ralph Talley used to come to church. And in the early days after God just opened his heart, he was so revived. He would talk much about Jesus being in the church service. Now we know he's not here physically. He's at the right hand of the Father. I'm not saying he's here physically. He's not. But he is here spiritually because he sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Right? He's here. It's real, friend. You say, I can't see it with my physical eyes. I can't hear it with my physical ears. But you can hear it with your spiritual ears if you have ears to hear. You can see it with your spiritual eyes if you have eyes to see. And what he's saying is that you need to, if you're going to partner with your star and the Spirit, you've got to recognize the mystery of your star. And Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And the great thing is, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and you have contacted him by faith, you know what? You're united to him spiritually. Just like I'm married to my wife, just as sure as she's sitting there. I'm married to her. Got married to her this September, 50 years it'll be. Amen? Praise God. You can clap if you want to. And that clapping should be for her, for putting up with this bloom here. This blooming idiot. For all those years, that clapping goes 100% to her. Believe me, I mean that from the depths of my being. And but we're united. We're united because we had a covenant of marriage. We're not one of those, what do they call that, living together? Common law. We're not common law. That's about as biblical as a concubine.
That's right.
we're you know, it, I don't mean to offend you, But if the word of God steps on your toes, I'm sorry, you're a fornicator if you're living together with somebody, not with a covenant, a marriage. And fornicators face God's judgment. So I don't want to be there. And if you're there, you need to move. Because God's feet are going to step on your toes. You need to get your toes out of there. Get out of that situation. Flee fornication! Right. And I'm just saying to you this morning that God's word has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You didn't come into a place of political correctness. You didn't come into a place of accommodating the culture.
That's good. Right.
You came into a place of declaring the word of God. And Jesus, just in case we don't say amen, he says amen. I like that. I like that. And he is saying here that I'm alive. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. I'm glad that old Randy Bloom, what I was born from George Bloom all the way back to Adam, is dead. When Christ died, the old man was crucified. Did you hear me? You say, well, he's kicking up in me pretty strong. That's your old nature. That only can remain as long as your mortal body is around. But the old man is dead. You say, where do you get that? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am new in Christ. I am not living where I used to live. I am in another realm. I am in the realm of God's grace, not under law, not under condemnation, not under a place where I have the word of God but no ability to follow it. I am under grace. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Amen. Because I live, he said, ye shall live also. And if you have that, my friend, you are living unto God. There's something wrong with a person that professes Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, and they don't love the law of God, because he enables you to keep the righteousness of the law. And if you don't do that, you're a liar if you say you're in Christ, because he fulfills the law in you. Now, you're not perfect, but he fulfills the law in you. And so I am so saying that praise the Lord, that we need to recognize Christ and declare the success of being united to the living Jesus Christ. And the key to your spiritual life is also found in your relationship to your star. And I want you to see that in verse number 20. You know, Paul said, I magnify my office. I'm going to do that today. Look at verse 20. He said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. Now this is a key. We know the seven golden candlesticks are the seven, what? Local New Testament churches in John's day. And they represent churches throughout church history, and they represent churches in the end times. Local churches. But he's saying there in Revelation 1:20 that there is a mystery to the star. Let me look at that again. The mystery of the seven stars, which are involved with the seven candlesticks, which we know are the seven churches. He says it. Now, what is a mystery? Somebody know what a mystery is? Well, you say that's somebody killed somebody and you got to solve it. No, that's not what this is talking about. A mystery is a secret that God has that only God knows. But he reveals it by means of what's called special revelation. Okay? He reveals it. There are certain mysteries that God reveals in the Word of God. And here he's revealing a mystery, and it's a secret that God has, but John is making it known to you right here in AD 96. And the star, the key to the star here is the location of the star. I wonder if you know from verse 20 where your star is located. Do you see that in verse 20, Sarge? Where is it located? Well, in verse 20 now. In verse 20, where is it located? That star. Come on, you know it, Brother Matt.
In the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, just in case you couldn't hear that, my ears are stuffed up. in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's located. And so that is the key. If Christ is the key to our spiritual life, if he says your star is located in his right hand, that is very important to your spiritual life. And it says that he that has ears, you need to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so the Lord will give you beneficial things through your star in your spiritual life if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, listen to me, through the star for your life in his right hand. And to the degree that you hear, you will get the benefit. In other words, the better you can hear, the more you benefit. Now, can I hear this morning? Yeah, I can hear, but I don't hear very good. I don't even hear myself very good. If I'm especially loud this morning, it's because I can barely hear. My wife would come in, she's trying to sleep. She said, you got the thing jacked up so high in your office. And I said, I can't hear, but I'll turn it down. Because I went to the ear doctor, the ENT, ear, nose, and throat specialist, and I said, I have a wax problem. He said, I know that. You're supposed to be in. You didn't come in the winter. You're supposed to come in every 6 months. He tells the truth. And I gave him excuses. And he went in with a tool and started like digging into my ears and trying to pull wax out of my ears so I could hear. And he goes, this is not working. He said, he didn't say it, but he said, it's like cement in there, that wax. It's all built up. And I'm like, oh, I knew this was going to be a problem. And he goes, come back next week. He goes, you got to put some ear stuff in your ears and soften it up. And so, Marianne, you know what I'm talking about. And so I've been putting that eardrops in the ears. And my daughter came in last night. She said, you need peroxide in your ears. Put it in there and it'll bubble it up. So I'll try that. I'll try anything. I'll put turpentine in there. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I got to get that stuff out of my ears. And I want to hear again. And I can hear, but not really good. And some Christians are like that.
That's right.
Did you hear me? Some Christians are like that. They hear, but they don't really hear. They're not really listening. And getting the benefit. And so it's a spiritual thing. And so you need to really get the benefit of what the Lord has for you from the star in his right hand. And by the way, let me say another thing. You need to be convinced of the definition of your star in Revelation 1:20. It says the mystery of the seven stars, and the seven stars are the what? The angels of the seven churches. Now listen to me very carefully. When the Lord gave the revelation in AD 96 to John, the Isle of Patmos, he gave it, first of all, it came from the Father. It then went to Jesus, the Son. And then it went to an angel. And then it went to John. And then who's the last people to get it?
Pastors of the seven churches.
Yeah, then it goes to us through the pastors of the seven churches. And you say, well, the angel, that the word angel is angel. It means a heavenly angel. Well, the word angel is the word angelos. Angelos. And the definition of angelos is messenger. Well, what's a messenger? Somebody that comes to you with what? A message. So if you look at the hierarchy of the revelation, and this was applied to the rest of the Bible, you know, it comes down. Now, thank God we can all read our Bible. Amen? We don't believe in Baptist popes or anything like that. We can all read our Bible. And if you could correct me from the Bible, I'm ready to listen. But I'm just saying to you that we read our Bible and we have the Bible in our own language. Thank God for that. But in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, men of God are set apart to labor in the word and doctrine to lead us to get into this Bible. to understand it and to give us the message from the Bible, not to bring a magazine up here, not to bring up a bunch of stuff here that's not biblical, but right from the Bible. And that is the message we're supposed to hear. And so these stars are not heavenly angels. They are the pastors who bring the message in the local New Testament church that we need to hear and to receive that. And the Holy Spirit works through the messenger for the church. And that's confirmed in the book of Acts. Listen to Acts 20, verse 28. I'll quote it. You follow. It says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So what is he saying? The Holy Ghost makes pastors overseers, and they're to come with the message of the Word of God to feed the spiritual lives of God's people. And the Holy Ghost makes the pastor the overseer and gives him the overseeing ministry that he gives him. It's specific to him. And so God has a message through your messenger, and it is the star giving the message, and it's in the right hand of the Lord that that message comes, and thank God for that. I think of this church. I remember Charlie Ware preaching, and I remember the one that got the most benefit, I think, from his messages. I was certainly one of them. And I realized now that God was giving me an ear to hear and giving me things, and I was benefiting from it. Now, did I agree with everything that Dr. Ware said? Was he a Baptist Pope? No. But so much of what he said was in the Word of God, and it benefited my life. And it will do the same thing for your life. Was I always here to hear the messages? Absolutely. And did I have ears to hear? Absolutely. And that will benefit your life. This guy right here, same thing. He has benefited from the Word of God. We have a men's revival seekers prayer meeting. A lot of times he'll pray first after I share the message that a lot of times I'm going to preach on Sunday. A little portion of it. And when he prays, it's like the Spirit of God helps him to focus on that and to benefit from that. And he himself is a pastor. And he has oversight and delivers the message of God in different contexts in the local church. And people benefit from that and get blessed by that. Because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit of God for your life. And I'm just simply saying, Paul said, "I magnify my office." I'm doing that this morning for your benefit. And so this is a key to spiritual success and growth. Partner with your star and understand the definition of your star and benefit from the ministry of that star in and through the local New Testament church. And I remember Charlie Ware, our first pastor, he would get attacked. And when we were at seminary up there, we had some brilliant men come from California, and they began to teach up there at the seminary. These men were brilliant men. And here was the attack on our young preacher, Charles Ware. You know what the attack was? "Those men know more of the Bible than I do. Those men are more brilliant than I am. Therefore, why should I preach? Why should people come here? We should just hear what they have to say." But then he realized, wait a minute. God put me as the messenger to deliver the message from the Word of God, and I need to be in the Word of God and in prayer. And I remember that same Charlie Ware, when he was a student, he was also a pastor here, and I remember the people from the school, the teachers and the recruiters that got him to go to the school, they were saying to him, not Dr. Kempton, but some other men that were less spiritual, they were saying to him, "You know what? Your first thing is basketball. You're a star basketball player. We need you to get more students that can come to Bible college, and they'll benefit if you really play good basketball and your name is used out there, and you're not you're not spending the time with that you used to spend. And he said, well, I'm now pastor. I'm a student, but I'm a pastor, and I have responsibilities to the word and to prayer and to my flock and to prepare my heart. I can't do what I used to do. And they kept hammering him and hammering him, saying, you need to do that. And you know what he did? You think he quit the church? No, he quit basketball. He quit basketball. And you say, well, what happened in the church? I'll tell you what happened. We saw God plant this church and change lives. And people got saved and they got baptized and they grew spiritually and they became more mature Christians. They fell in love with the Bible. They fell in love with Jesus Christ. They started relating the Word of God to areas of their life. Why? Because the man of God stayed in the Word of God, and when he delivered, he didn't deliver the message of popular culture. He delivered the message of God. I like what Eli said when Samuel said, what should I do? And he said, you just say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And that's how you ought to be, and I ought to be. And so you can then partner with your star and the Holy Spirit by recognizing the mystery of your star, and that is the pastor in the local church that's delivering the message of God from the Word of God for your life. And secondly, by relying upon the Spirit of God himself. And you say, well, where is that? Go to Revelation 3, verse 1. And I'll just take one verse there to bring that point home. Revelation 3, 1, and I'll quote it. It says, and the angel, now we know that is the pastor delivering the message, and the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits, capital S, of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, and that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art what? Dead. Now, what did this church need? Well, you say it needs the hot preaching of the Word of God from a man of God with a message in the right hand of Jesus. And you're right. But it needed something else, and that is it needed the seven spirits of God. Now, we know that the seven spirits of God, capital S, refers to the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the number seven in the Bible is a number for completeness. So what this is speaking of is the Holy Spirit in his fullness. And it speaks of a church that is full of the Holy Spirit, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and are relying on the Holy Spirit, and therefore that church is very much alive. You ever heard of somebody being half dead, Luke? You know, he's half dead. And you know, you ever see a fish that's half dead? How many have seen a fish that's half dead? My dad used to catch fish, and he put them in a pan, not a pan, he put them in a bucket, and then sometime there wouldn't be enough water in the bucket, and the fish was going like, you know, the gills are going out. And the fish is like half dead. He can't flop around or anything. And then I would take a hose and I would spray it in the bucket with my finger, my thumb on the hose. And it would like cause air bubbles in there, oxygen. And that would go, you know, the fish would be in that oxygenated water. And all of a sudden he'd be like flopping around again. He was alive again. He was revived. Why was he alive? Why was he revived? He was taking in oxygen from the water through his gill system. And you know what? We're alive in Christ if we're born again Christians, but a lot of times we're being starved of the oxygen-rich atmosphere of a Holy Ghost church, of a Holy Ghost preaching, of a Holy Ghost every word Bible. We are lacking in the real deal, my friend. And here you had a church, the church at Sardis, and they were half dead. In fact, they had a name to live, they had a history of being alive, but they were really suffering and they were lacking the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if there's one thing I believe we need today in the churches across America is a revival of the old-time religion. Amen. The old-time model of what the churches are supposed to be. And where does that come from? Does that come from a lot of money? Does that come from a lot of music? Does that come from drama and all this being put in the center? No, my friend, it comes from the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
God requires the past. America's going to hell in a handbasket, and you're laying to sin rich churches that have need of nothing. You're doing nothing to revive America. You're accommodating lily-livered, chicken-livered preaching is doing nothing to revive America. We need the old-time religion. We need the old-time Billy Sundays. We need the old-time Jonathan Edwards. We need the old-time D.L. Moody's. We need the old-time preaching Jack Heil stuff. We need it back. And you say, where does that come from? Come from the Holy Ghost. You say, how do I show that reliance on the Holy Ghost? You get on your knees or wherever you need to go and you pray down the power of God. You pray down the Spirit of God. He indwells every one of us permanently, but we need the filling of the Holy Ghost. We need out of our innermost being to flow rivers of living water. Amen. We need to admit our need. And you say, can I have more of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Further supplies, more of. Listen, I'll just make my point right here, right now. What does it say about the apostolic churches? Well, I've quoted it Wednesday night. It says, great grace and great power. They made known the resurrection of Jesus Christ with great grace and great power. You know what that means? Not only were the apostles witnessing, but the Holy Ghost was with them witnessing to people's hearts about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what kind of reaction do you get to that? Matt knows we get either a duck or pucker reaction. We went to one house, Matt, and what did the guy do? He came out and he was yelling at me as soon as I got out of the car. He doesn't even know me. But he's heard me witness. He didn't want to hear it. Another guy was witnessing. A guy was just ready to hear and receive what I had. And his father got up, and he's an older guy, but his father got up and said, shut up or get up, don't speak to him. I'm telling you, you're going to get a duck or pucker reaction if you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You read the book of Acts. Either they loved Peter and they loved the church and they loved Paul, or they were ready to stone him and get rid of him. You find out they had no in between there. It was like either hate him or love him. Woe unto you if all men speak well of you and love you. Because they crucified Jesus Christ. They crucified and they killed him, and the apostles were all martyred except John. He was boiled in oil. God brought him through miraculously. God fill us with the Holy Spirit. Where are the revival seekers' prayer meeting? Thank God for people that pray with a man of God that God would fill us with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that can be today, that we can have revival. And it's the only hope, listen to me, you're not going to make America great again without a revival. I believe Donald Trump is the duly elected president. I believe the election was stolen. I believe that he got, what, how many more million votes? Lots more. Lots more. And it's never been in history that somebody got that many more and lost to a guy that spent time in his cellar and he couldn't even bring a crowd, and he's a disaster.
Yep.
Who has the dominion here? Satan. But God's got the ultimate dominion. We need God in America, and we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm not preaching politics. I'm preaching spiritual warfare. I'm preaching God.
Yes.
And may God help us to stand in this hour. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're talking about